Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the basics of Christianity was recorded at our 2009 South Africa Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Why is it that when it's you pray, all of a sudden you don't have the same confidence? You know what it is? It's not that you doubt God's power. What you're doubting is God's willingness to use His power, because you link God's power and using you to your worth and value, and you, your own heart condemns you, and you know that you don't deserve it. And yet you look at me and see, you see me on television and you see me up here, and people think that preachers just somehow or another have it all together. And so you think, oh yeah, God will answer your prayers. But if you knew me as well as you know you, you wouldn't have any more faith in my prayers than you got in your prayers. God doesn't use me because I deserve it. He doesn't use me because I'm worthy of it. I'm not worthy of God using me. God uses me in spite of who I am, not because of who I am. He uses me because I've learned to trust in Him, and I pray in the name of Jesus, and I get things based on what Jesus has done. So anyway, here's a great dilemma. Some of you might say, well, I believe when I got born again, I was holy and pure, but I've sinned since then, and I'm constantly sinning. I fail. I'm trying to lose weight, and I just constantly overeat, and you live under a sense of sin consciousness. You constantly gripe and complain about things. You constantly are negative instead of positive. You don't pray as much as you should. You don't read the Word as much as you should. You don't love your mate as much as you should. Your children get you angry and you get upset. And you just live in a constant state of feeling unworthy. And you don't doubt that God has the power. You just doubt that He'll use it because you feel unworthy and condemned. I want to share some good news with you, that what I was talking about last night, how you were created in righteousness and true holiness, it never changes. It never fluctuates. You don't lose your right standing with God when you sin. And I know some of you think, that's too good to be true. That's what the gospel is. It's nearly too good to be true. But the truth is, you don't lose your right standing. And so, I've already shared a bunch of scriptures about who you are in Christ. And as Jesus is, so are you in this world. You're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Look at this verse in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. In Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm breaking right into the middle of a thought here, but he says in verse 13, in whom you also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Boy, that's a powerful verse. This says that once you believed, the Holy Spirit sealed your spirit. Now, your spirit was created in righteousness and true holiness. As Jesus is, so are you in this world. Your spirit is perfect, identical to Jesus. And then the moment you believed, instantly, you are vacuum packed. You're sealed. You know, there's different ways that we use the word seal. Like, you can seal a letter, but that doesn't mean that something couldn't get in there. It's not a perfect seal, but... but when the scripture is talking about being sealed, it means that you are completely encased. And here is a truth that just changed my life. This is radical. It's really different than what most of us have been taught. But this is exactly what this verse is saying. When you were born again, that spirit was perfect. And then instantly the Holy Spirit completely encased you and sealed you. And when you sin after being born again, that sin enters into your physical body, and it can affect your body. It could give Satan an inroad with sickness or disease or something like that. Or if you go out and speed because you tell the policeman that, you know what, this guy's preaching on grace and God loves me whether I speed or not. Well, then that's true, but it's cost you in your physical body, you could be arrested or given a ticket or you could be put in jail. If you sin, it gives Satan an opportunity against you in the physical realm, and it defiles you in the soul and your emotional realm. It'll cause guilt and condemnation and embarrassment and shame. And so you shouldn't sin, even as a Christian, because it gives Satan inroad into your body and into your soul. But your spirit is encased and sealed with the Holy Spirit, and that sin cannot penetrate the seal. Your spirit retains its holiness and purity even if you sin. That is wonderful news. Man, that's tremendous news. That means that you don't lose your right standing with God. And remember, John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is looking at your born-again spirit, and because it's sealed, once you get born again, you are always perfect. You are always pure. You never get defiled. And when you come before God, I bet you most of us in here have come before God and said, oh God, I'm just so unworthy. Oh God, why would you ever use me? How could you ever use me? How could you love me? And you're feeling unworthy because you have failed in some area. But God is a spirit, and God's looking at you in your born again spirit, and he's saying, perfect, perfect. You're beautiful. You are identical to Jesus. You're as holy and pure as Jesus is. You are, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9, you are my workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You are totally his product. Everything old has passed away. Everything in your spirit is brand new. And God is seeing you just perfect. You're sinless. You're pure. As Jesus is, so are you in this world. And here you are, thinking, I'm so ungodly, I'm so unworthy. Oh God, how could you ever use me? The Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? God is seeing you righteous and holy and pure and forgiven and cleansed, and you're seeing yourself as an old sinner. God's looking on the spirit. You're looking on the flesh. You're walking in the flesh instead of in the spirit and wondering, why does it seem like I just can't connect with God? Because you aren't approaching him in the spirit. You're approaching him on the basis of who you are in your physical body and actions and in your emotions and in your thought. You can't contact God. You can't truly establish a relationship with God in the flesh. You have to be in the spirit. And see, this is what every one of these Bible college students have talked about. What they learn is who they are in Christ and that God is a spirit, and they relate to him on the basis of the spirit. And without exception, every one of them has a different relationship with God because now they are approaching him in the spirit. They're basing their relationship with God on who they are in the spirit, in Christ, instead of who they are in the flesh. Man, I don't know if you get that or not, but that is huge. That's huge. Most people do not see who they are in Christ. Other people deal with them based on their actions, based on the way they look, based on the way they talk. And we get used to people and ourselves thinking only about who we are in the physical realm. Maybe you aren't one of the beautiful people. Maybe you aren't one of the ones that speak the best. Maybe you aren't the best educated, you aren't the richest, and you've just learned to feel like you're kind of ordinary, and that's the way you see yourself and think of yourself. And so you don't expect extraordinary things because you're just a nobody. That's where a lot of people live. But in the spirit, you are identical to Jesus. You have the same potential that Jesus has, the same ability that Jesus has. You can expect miraculous things. And you aren't going to experience that miraculous power until you change your identity and change the way you think. And you can't change that identity until, first of all, you find out who you are and what you have. You need to be in Christ and live your whole life based on who you are in the spirit and not who you are in your physical self. You know, we had our pastor give us this story, and I thought it was really powerful. I shared this last week. But he was on a safari in Africa. And on this safari, he was in one of these vehicles that didn't have a top on it and it didn't have any doors on it. It was an open vehicle. And they were driving through this game preserve, and there was a pride of lions that had just made a fresh kill, and they were eating this carcass right beside the road. I mean, right beside the road. And the people in the vehicle were concerned because there was no doors on it. And they were afraid about, isn't this dangerous? And he says, you stay in this vehicle, the lions look at it as you're a part of this vehicle, and they know they can't eat that vehicle. They know that they can't overcome that vehicle. And so as long as you stay in the vehicle, they see you as a part of the vehicle. He says, don't get out, and they'll leave you alone. And so here they were, real close to those lions. They were just like right there, and they were sitting there with no protection, and yet the lions totally left them alone. A vehicle pulled up behind them, and another man got out who didn't have that same instruction, and he saw them all sitting there taking pictures. So he stepped out of the vehicle to take a picture, and a lioness that was on the other side hiding in the grass just instantly grabbed him like that and killed him. When he got out of the vehicle, he was seen as an individual, and the lions overpowered him. The Bible says that your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. If you stay in Christ and base it on, I don't care what I feel like, I don't care whether I've been right or wrong, it is not my actions, it's not me, it's not because I've been fasting and praying, but it's because I am in Christ, and you stay on who you are and what Jesus has done for you, Satan can't touch you. But the moment you get out of in Christ and you start standing and saying, God, I'm fasting, I'm praying, I'm living holier than I ever have, I believe you're going to use me because I've done this, Satan will devour you because you are standing in your flesh. And this is where most Christians live, is, oh God, I'm trying to be holy. Oh God, I'm doing this. Now God, I've prayed. Now will you heal me? God, I'm studying the Word. Now will you heal me? I promise you, I'll go to church. I'll start paying my tithes if you'll give me this miracle. All of those things are outside of Christ. And Satan will devour you, and Satan will beat you. Man, I hope you understand that. That's a tremendous picture. And that's the way that it is. You've got to stay in Christ. You've got to base your whole life on who you are in the Spirit and not based on yourself.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the almost too good to be true news of the gospel. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 South Africa Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM238 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Once again, I'd like to encourage you to take advantage of what we call the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. This is actually my footnotes on over 9,000 verses in the Bible. It's in a Bible program. You get three versions of the Bible with that. You get four Bible dictionaries and commentaries, and mine is one of them. And the reason we call it a living commentary is because as I write footnotes every month, there are updates available. We have a sample of this on our website, so I'd like to direct you to that. You could actually check it out and see, and you could sign up right online. But check out the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. I think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you.